The scripture today is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
This morning's scripture, as Alexandra alluded to, is from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. "Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the case of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what way have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember how King Balak of Moab devised what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He's told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and walk humbly with your God?" May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his. People like to hear things in threes, by the way. It's an oratorical device. Say something three times, three different ways, and the point gets across. January 15th was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and then February is Black History Month, so you've heard and you will hear what was considered to be quite possibly the best oratory of the 20th century that closes with a three. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. In the automobile sales world, the big three were once General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, and at one time these three automakers were the biggest in the world. Later they were just the biggest ones in North America, and now not quite so much. In real estate, there's a principle of threes. Anybody a realtor? What's the three fold principle of real estate? Location, location, location. So nice they said it thrice. So important. And so in the Old Testament, we have another great triad of what God is expecting, Micah 6:8. People put this verse on plaques. I've seen it engraved on the wall in a synagogue in Pittsburgh, not the Tree of Life where the mass shooting took place. I was at another one time, and I saw that proudly displayed prominently displayed on the front of the sanctuary. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God? Micah was written at a time when a society was being destroyed. The northern kingdom, called Israel, fell to the Assyrian Empire in 722 BC, and Micah was there before that happened, prophesying that everything was going to, that was going to happen was going to happen, and then he was there after it fell, and as a prophet, he felt, and people believed, he was speaking for God. Why is Israel failing? Because its people have not met the big three requirements. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. The first of the big three, do justice. The Hebrew word asag is translated to do here, and it can mean to make. The word is used in the creation narrative, for example, where God used that word, asag the heavens and made the earth. Therefore, you can possibly translate this as make justice. Fashion your laws and practices so that justice ensues. Justice is less something that we render than it is something that we manufacture, that we create by having good laws and then enforcing them properly. I remember reading 60 years ago. I wasn't here 60 years ago. I read something written 60 years ago. I'm not going to lie to you about my age, though. I'm not going to deceive you that way. Not that anyone's done that today. A United Methodist bishop said that the problem with the church is we've been trying to make straight bricks out of people. And we think that when you have straight bricks, you're going to have a straight building. But we forget how the bricks are placed makes all the difference. How they're structured, how things are set up. Because you can have all the straight bricks in the world, but if you try to put them together, if somebody puts them together that doesn't know what they're doing, that doesn't know how to make a straight wall or a straight building, then it's just a pile of bricks and nothing good happens. So you need two things. You need individuals who are straight bricks, and you need a societal structure put together to build a sturdy building. And so when God is saying here to do justice, to make justice, how our society is structured is important to God. God is looking for people to create a society that is just. Societies don't automatically find themselves fair. They have to be made that way. God had given them centuries before enough laws to fill five books. But enforcing those laws or practicing those laws was not set up. In God's eyes, they did not make or do justice. And so their society, like a building, just fell down and was conquered. In the second part of the big three, love kindness. The Hebrew word here is chesed, meaning goodness and kindness. And by the way, my Hebrew was 22 years ago. So if I mispronounce something, I'm still looking at the right words, but I've forgotten probably more than I ever knew in Hebrew. And I try to use transliterations as well as I can. But the Hebrew word here is chesed, meaning goodness and kindness. In Psalm 23, the same root word appears. Surely goodness and chesed, often translated as mercy or loving kindness, shall follow me all the days of my life. The prophet Micah did not feel that his society was living up to his requirement, to this requirement of God, both as individuals and collectively as a society. They were not merciful to one another. They were not loving to one another. Do you know of any other societies where that kind of thing predominates or prevails? And finally, the third of the big three, to walk humbly with your God. And the root word here is tasana, which means to be modest or humble. This word's only used twice in the Old Testament. The other time is Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility, tasana, comes wisdom. Their society was not celebrating humility, but rather exalting pride. Micah is kind of nebulous here. He doesn't catalog all of the great injustices. He doesn't write down all of the terrible things he's seen that shows that they're not living up to the big three. He doesn't decide to give you a laundry list of all that they did wrong. So we don't have specifics to share with you about what they did. But it was as if the prophet was touching something that he just knew everybody else knew. We know this is not happening. We're not doing justice. We're not a just society. We're not a society of loving kindness, and we're not walking humbly with God. The ears of the people should have burned as they heard this, because he was trying to access something that everybody knew was going on. And he blames that for the destruction that's coming. When you read prophetic books, you have to locate it in a specific time and context, and I do that here. I tell you the dates it was written. But as Tony Campolo once said, and others have said, we have to look at prophetic books and see how they echo. It's like when you take a rock and you throw it into a pond or a still body of water, and you watch as concentric circles spin out from there. You see them being made. And so a prophecy is located at a specific time. That's when the rock hits the water, but the echoes keep going, generation after generation, and they speak to successive generations and future generations. Hundreds, thousands of years later, look at this passage and say, how are we measuring up? And today, I'm sure, even without going into specifics, we can look at our own society and say, do we do justice here? Do we love kindness? Do we celebrate and love walking humbly? Do you think we've gotten there? Do you think we've arrived there? Do we have all the good laws in the books to make a just society? And are they into practice? Are they enforced properly so that justice prevails, that kindness prevails? Are we a society that celebrates humility in the people that we see? Or is something else celebrated right now? Do I need to get into specifics with you? Or do you feel that we have lived up to this, to the big three? I've seen events this week, in my mind, just remind me how far the gap is between what is and what should be. Is anyone doing justice? Is anyone loving kindness here? Is anyone walking humbly with our God? The people at that time thought, if we just sacrifice a little bit more, as Alexander pointed out, if we just sacrifice a little bit more, that'll make up for it. Let's just kill some bulls. Or let's just kill some other kind of animal in accordance with the law, and then that'll just make it all better. Let's throw money on the problem, and let's try to fix this by killing an animal and doing a sacrifice, and then it'll all be better. It kind of reminds me of one of my pet peeves in life. When somebody wrongs me and then they don't say they're sorry, what they do is they just act nicer the next time. Have you noticed that? Don't say you're sorry. Don't go up to, if you've wronged somebody and you know it, don't go up to somebody and say, you know, I was being a jerk. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. You just think, well, I'm going to be nicer to them next time. That'll make all the difference. Don't say those three painful words, I am sorry. Don't even put it into a contraction. I'm sorry. Don't do that. Just be nicer to them next time and they'll get the message. Maybe, we hope. I'm guilty of it, as I'm sure all of you are. It's painful to have to admit that you're wrong or that you've been wrong. And yet, this is part of kindness. This is part of justice when there is a crime, acknowledging that there's been a crime, an offense. It is part of kindness, showing the other person that they matter enough for you to apologize to them. And it is humility. It's us recognizing that we're people and we, as people, mess up time and time again as we try to walk the earth. See how in big ways and little ways we're just not quite living up to the big three? Do you ever feel that? Do you ever sense that? Well, you know, mercy's right there in the big three. If you haven't lived up to the big three in your personal life, and if our society has not lived up to the big three in the way it's structured and laws enforced, you know, it's not over yet. There is still a chance for us to create the big three right here, right now. There is still a way to change the laws or enforce them differently. There is still a way for us to act that meets God's requirements, knowing more than ever that Jesus Christ is the author of grace and that all of our sins can be forgiven through just three simple words to him, I'm sorry, that God will forgive our sins and help us to do better next time. Maybe the big three automakers have gone away, but I think the big three principles echoed here are listed here in Micah and then echoed through the centuries, I don't think those are ever going to go away. I think every generation is going to have to look at this passage and think, how are we doing? Are we measuring up? Have we got the big three going on right now?